In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Thank God for Best 18, because that round had some very forgettable scores. We're here to review the first of the bye rounds, round 12, and talk about all the fantasy relevant news. Let's go!
Just done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I am joined, because I dragged him kicking and screaming this week, by Luke Roderson, who is the worst coach on the podcast for, I think, the first or maybe the second time, going back to week two, coach on the podcast, mate. How was your weekend?
I am here physically and in no other way am I here. Is there an assistant coach job going at Mishman? Because
yeah, but there's no pay. It's an internship. We don't have enough budget to fit in a pay for the assistant coach.
I've given up on the Oxlongs. I realised the error of my ways was I normally have the obligatory change of name at about this time of the season, and I've just left it a couple of weeks too late. But yeah. I did get in this morning and change it to the Ox shorts.
Okay, that rouses the boys up.
Arouses the boys, it might do. Yeah, there's no way I can be going around spruiking an Ox long at the moment.
No.
It is all short and nothing else.
It did seem, you know, look at your score before. It's not a score you flaunt to your friends. So
should we flaunt it to our friends?
Yeah, let's tell our friends, the thousands of viewers listening to the podcast. So we'll start with you. How did you score on the weekend?
I couldn't even manage a 1700, and that was with the C on Bailey Smith.
Yeah, that was I have a few regrets about not taking that one, but
it probably puts it probably puts in perspective how things were at the Oxlongs. I'll talk about it in a little bit more detail later, but it got even worse than last week. There's not much to say.
Yeah. I have continued to climb. I have scored at 1827, and that's got me to 4,096. So last few weeks, just sort of climbing 1,000 ranks per week, but still not really where I want to be. But hey, it's better than going backwards. So
It felt pointed.
We'll say that. I think the summary, just to start with the overarching point of view from this first week, which taught us some lessons, the value of having 20, 21, maybe even 22 players playing this week would have been supremely valuable. If you had 18, 19, or just 21 duds...
It wasn't supremely valuable for me.
Well, it really, there were some really, really low scores that we had on our field. Some scores that maybe were expected, but some scores that may be unexpected. So we'll talk about them in the flogs, but players like Riley Bice, Caden Cleary, single digits.
We'll get there, mate.
We'll get there.
But how about we kick the complaining off with a little bit of camel behavior?
All right, camels. My hump.
Not even in my misery can I reject a little bit of humping.
I'm going to give the Camel Award to some supposed quote-unquote winners over the weekend. And I'm targeting everyone in the Adelaide midfield. Because Adelaide stomped on Sydney. It was an absolute flogging. And no midfielder scored above 90. Jordan Dawson, what was he, 86, was the best of them. You had Rankin with a 60-odd. My boy Berry, he scored a 60-odd.
It's pretty quenched behaviour when you got Bailey Smith out
very
here.
Quenched.
Racking it up on the likes of the Eagles.
If
so.
if you're going to dominate a team by nearly 100 points, I expect to see some big scores. And these guys just kicked their feet up. And no Adelaide player scored a ton. That is unacceptable, Luke. Unacceptable at 100-point flogging. Just not on.
It did it by committee. Now let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum and have a look at some absorbent and yellow and porous players.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Now, I'd given up by this stage of the weekend. There was no chance of me getting anywhere near watching a 7:10 Sunday afternoon game.
Yeah, what's with the... We've got another one this weekend coming up as well.
If there was one game that I should have watched, it was, of course, Bailey Smith getting it done once again.
This shin injection business...
Yeah.
Baloney, I say.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, either that or he just loves having a shin injury. But this... You were put in a position where you had a half-decent VC score and so had the question whether to roll into him. Yeah. I, at least, was fortunate enough to have Jordan Dawson's VC
fortunate
score.
Fortunate enough to have bad players.
I am so fortunate.
But, 147, if you don't mind. It. Yeah, just absolutely dominant. Like we expected him to do, the big boys, he was number one there, and he came out and 38 touches, kicked a goal, 7 marks. The man can't be stopped. He is the sponge of the year so far to me. Just doesn't know how to go in second gear. Always flat out.
Yeah.
Just has no other way.
Yeah, he's averaging 132 in the last 6, which is just a ridiculous number.
Yeah, I mean, it's a season to behold, and this makes me feel, again, a couple years ago, I started with Bailey Smith as a unique pick in the midfield, and this is the reason, like, this is what he can do. 122.5 on the season with 11 games. Like, that is, like, he is doing this, and he's basically, until further notice, will continue to do this for the rest of the season, I suppose. He still hasn't even versed Richmond, Luke. He's got Richmond still twice in the next bunch of games. Still got a North Melbourne matchup. Still has a St Kilda matchup, a Gold Coast matchup, an Essendon matchup. He's still got good matchups to come. Like, he's come off hard matchups. This man just, he doesn't stop.
Let's keep it rolling with Bogs and Flogs.
And the winner of the Norm Smith Medal.
You're an embarrassment to what you do, mate.
Who's an embarrassment this round, Luke? Starting all the way back. Brisbane versus Essendon. Oh, my bad. I thought it was over.
I want to listen to it.
Who was an embarrassment?
Well, embarrassment in this one was
Brisbane versus Essendon.
Was Chris Fagan. And
subbing out our boy.
Yeah, well, not so much our boy. I was cheering this one.
Well, you were cheering, but for everyone else out here, because you've given up.
Yes.
Chris Fagan subbing out Levi. Just giving us some questions. We thought we had the game plan.
Vindication.
We thought we had the game plan. Get into round 16, trade him out there. Now he's got that break even of 95, I want to say, which just has us asking too many questions. 96 break even. Yeah, too many questions for this time of year with a player who still has got a couple more games for his bye.
A bloke who had answers to questions was Jai Caldwell. Now, you, I believe, cited the stat on our Friday show that in the last, it's like 15 to 20 games where Caldwell's played greater than 70% TOG and greater than 50% CBAs, the guy is averaging 112, which is an insane figure. And I mean, he showed it.
A decent sample size. So this guy could very well be like right up there in terms of our midfielders, like top 8, top 4 midfielders even. I know everyone's going to look at merit, but I think someone like Caldwell is definitely needs to be on our radar. It sucks now that we probably can't get him until round 17, so hopefully his price doesn't get too far away from us. His break-even is now 86, so hopefully he can stay a little bit cheaper so we can get him at round 17. All right, the next game here is Collingwood versus Hawthorn, and everyone thought that Nick Dacos is going to cop a tag. You know, I sort of said in the big boys preview that Hawthorn were tagging him since before tagging was cool. Now tagging seems to be cool. Of course they're going to go to him, but no. He just goes out, dominates, biggest score for a number of weeks, and If you didn't have him, it was a prime week to get him in because he was getting cheaper, and now he's stopped that cash slide again. Nick Daicos, big score.
I think he was getting some slight attention at stoppage, but for him, it doesn't matter once he gets out of the stoppage.
That's not
it's plus six territory for Nick Daicos. The flog on the other end is not someone who's hugely fantasy relevant, but James Sicily, what a fall from grace for a guy that we know can give you 150s type ceiling scores to have 20 points.
20.6 touches. I feel incredibly bad because we did have a Patreon member ask us about Sicily and whether he should keep Sicily or trade Caleb Daniel, and sort of needed the numbers on field this week. I said, okay, just keep him on there. He had back-to-back 50s, I think I said. Hold him. He's going to bounce back.
Yeah.
And then he just spits in my face and goes, how about a 20? This would have to be his worst score in
a long time.
Like 20, 30 years.
that's like, a long
like
time.
5 or 6 years or something like that. Because I know he had a 30 in round one, I think, last year. And he just comes out and tops it again. It is, that is disgusting.
Sydney and Adelaide, the bog in this one is Matty Roberts, who I keep writing in my article every week. He just keeps doing enough to not put his name on the chopping block, I think. It's nothing enormous, nothing big or ceiling about it, but he just keeps doing enough.
Yeah, I mean, he was like the lone bright spot in this game from a fantasy point of view. Like, no one really had Brody Grundy or McCartan. So, as far as Sydney getting belted by 90 points, it's passable, but yeah, not too much to write home against in this game here for fantasy purposes. The flog, I don't care that they're young players.
This reaches new levels of comedy because how the fuck do two players
combine
for less than 20 points when one is the starting sub and one's the finishing sub?
It's like, so Bice goes out and plays an absolutely horrible first half. Like, terrible defensively.
Couldn't be worse.
Didn't even get the pill. If you're going to be terrible defensively, at least get a lot of pill and do something with the ball. Couldn't do either of those things. He gets subbed out at halftime, and Cleary sees that happen. He watches, oh shit, okay, here's the players getting subbed out. I need to come on and make an impact because this person hasn't. He comes out and he's worse. He scores 1 point less.
I'm telling you, it's comedic at this point. I had both of these players on the field, mind you. And the real kick in the dick for me here is that I've got guys like Philippou, Hall. I've still got Lawler who are planning to trade.
There's no way Bice is dropped.
This is where I'm going with this. Is not only are these players putting up single digit scores on my field, but I can't even rely to keep them for another week.
No, I can't see a world where Bice, Cleary probably as well. I think they're both dropped this week.
And these are not guys that I've been holding because they're fucking good guys. I've been trying to trade these motherfuckers for like 3 weeks.
They've got a Richmond matchup this week too.
Every single week there's a fucking injury. A lot of this is self-inflicted. Like, who the fuck trades in Philippou and then subsequently Kadeem Coleman?
The beginning
of the end. In comes Coleman the next week. So there's a self-inflicted element to this, but God, stop kicking a man when he's down, please.
Yeah, he's already dead. Let's give him a break. I think we skipped a few games here, Luke, so we're going to go back to Gold Coast versus Frio, and I'm going to give the best on ground in this one to Luke Jackson because Gold Coast are supposedly the hardest. Well, they are. It's a fact. They're the hardest matchup in fantasy for rucks. And Luke Jackson said, hold my beer. Sean Darcy coming in. I don't give a shit because he played midfield clock and ruckman as well. And he scored 116 points in this one here. So that's for people who trade him in as a bit of a cash grab until his bye. I didn't expect this to be the game that actually vindicated that decision. I thought this was going to be a tough one, but hey, it ended up being a decent play, and he did well.
Got a good dub too, and the shiny object was out and about as well.
Shiny object, yeah.
This is quite the drive-by if this is for real. You've given a bloke who scored 116 the flog.
I'm giving Noah Anderson the flog because he had 39 touches and scored 116. Bailey Smith had 38 touches and he scored 147. Where are the rest of me points, Noah? What's going on, mate? He was unstoppable in terms of just racking up the pill. No tag. Just was left to do his own thing. 4 marks and 1 tackle.
One tackle
in a monsoon.
When Matt Rail has 13 of them.
It was a monsoon. There was tackles to be had. One tackles is not going to get it done, Noah. Look, I appreciate you're a great footy player, and you actually had a great game. But Fantasy points, mate. That's what the owners want. That's what the coaches want. Get your hands on some other guys, tackle him, cuddle him, and that 116 will turn into a 146 in no time. So just a little rocket for my boy Noah.
GWS Richmond game was a tough watch. The writing was on the wall at three-quarter time because you've got a young team that looked as though they were tiring. They've been wasteful in front of goal, and you could just... Maybe my negativity brought this into existence, but GWS were always going to run it down.
What was the end up? How many behinds did it end up being? It was something like 16 or 17 behinds. It was incredible and easy one. 17 behinds. And that leads into our best on ground, Lockie Ash, who just lapped up all of these behinds and had 10 kick-ins himself. And all of that, I think, was like in the first half as well. And then they did put Whitfield back a little bit more in the second half, but...
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Lockie Ash, he was a big beneficiary of Richmond's inaccuracy, so he gets the best on ground. The Flog, on the other hand...
Toby Green was a name that a few people had considered through the week with his big score, and then hopefully a Richmond matchup would mean more of that. We were never too big, and this is the very reason is that...
I mean, he had 14 CBAs. Yeah. He had the role.
But like we've said, he doesn't need to do it every week, and even though they were getting... beaten convincingly for the most part.
Yeah.
Anyone who did trade him in would have wanted more.
Yeah, and now you're sort of left thinking, well, what do I do from him here? Do I just ride him out? And his cash in is not going to go too far if he puts up another one of those scores. So, yeah, he gets the Flog in this one. On the Sunday, Melbourne versus St Kilda, best on ground. Wang, he's always the best on ground in my books, but he had a second half of the ages in this one. Didn't get to watch this game, but watching the scores a little bit over the day. And the second half, 58 points, 38 points. In the quarter four and quarter three. So basically nearly tons up, 96 points in the second half.
After reports of a bit of Wang on Johnson action that might have sparked the Wang onslaught.
Yeah, so he had, 21 points at halftime, finished with 116. That's a pretty fucking good effort.
It's pretty wild. Very happy for owners. The opposite end of the spectrum is Clayton Oliver. You got kissed last week, but not kissed this week.
No, it was a down performance after I thought Clary might be back. He said, no, not so fast. I'm still that bum Clayton Oliver from a few weeks ago. 59 points, second lowest score of the season. So, again, has me asking questions with him still a couple of weeks away from his bye, whether or not I can stomach to hold him. I could have put Philippou here for you, but I thought we'd just keep this podcast relevant for people that actually are in other people's fantasy teams.
Yeah, well, I mean, also, he was injured. You can't be giving drive-bys for that.
what was his injury? Because I didn't actually see what it was.
Calf, I believe.
This
was... I'd been kicked in the dick multiple occasions throughout the weekend, and having this happen right at the end was just the ultimate kick in the dick because... I get it, fantasy gods.
You asked for this.
I get it.
You did. This was a bad trade. You said, I want to see how fucked it can get. How bad can it get?
I didn't invite that, did I?
And the fantasy gods turned around and said, all right, hold my beer, Luke. Let me show you how bad it can get.
Yeah, and I suspect I might be in for more when selection comes around this week as well. Hey, I'm happy to play the role on the podcast of shit coach that people can laugh at feel better about their teams. That's the role I have to play.
Yeah, we saw this news. We were going off for a bit of a walk and with the better halves, and we just basically went, what can you do? Like, it was beyond the point of like getting upset about. We just went, yep. Sounds about right.
I had a look this morning, and my trade-ins were not that bad. So,
Nick Martin the last couple of weeks.
Hear me out on this one. So, like, Lohman comes in, makes a nice little bit of cash for me. Sheldrick comes in, makes a nice little bit of cash.
The pick of the mid-prices, yeah.
Yeah, so, I've made a decent amount of cash. I lost almost $200,000 on Philippou, Cleary, Bice, and Corey Warner. So $200,000. So I went, my team value went backwards. Yeah. I traded in good picks and my team value literally went backwards this week.
Yeah, no, that's not what you want.
It's not ideal.
Should just trade those guys out, Luke, instead.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah.
Hindsight.
Predict those injuries, man.
I'd be an amazing coach in hindsight.
All right, West Coast vs Geelong to round it out. Best on ground, Baz. But also shout out to Brian Myers, who we were also against, but maybe got that one wrong, Luke. I know Rory was spruiking the Myers pick, and that was a brilliant call because he went massive.
I think he's on. And I mean, even though I don't believe in that pick long term, at this time of year, you don't really need it to be.
Yeah, so. I mean, short term play, 137, even if he gives you a couple of 70s, That's almost done it for you there. And Max Holmes 108 was also fairly nice. Looks like it could have been bigger, but 108 you will take from Maxi. Flogging this one, Ryan Marich, he was subbed out. I think he is definitely someone that can go this week, especially if you don't have too many around 13 players. 63.
Yeah, break even. He's up around 100 now.
He's going down. So he's someone that I think you can get off, especially if he's getting subbed out.
Oh, get him off and get him out.
All right, let's talk about some strategy. The good news is, Luke, is that...
Tell me the good news, Mitch. I can't wait for you to tell me the good news.
Well, from here, it's a very simple game. We like simple. You're basically trading in players, premiums, that have had their buy, and I won't hear an argument for the contrary. You absolutely have to be trading in players who are around 12 coming off. They've got now 4 games in a row where they're going to play. Every other team that has got their buy coming up will only play 3 at a maximum. So you're getting an extra game from these players, and you're trading out players with a bye coming up. Now, it doesn't have to be players on their bye now. So for especially this bye round where there's only 2 teams, you might have a team where you've got a full sort of 22 or 21 or something like that, and you might use this time to not trade out round 13 guys, but maybe trade out round 14, 15, or 16 guys where you pick a buy that you think is going to be heavy for you. For example, if you've got a heavy round 15, maybe trading out your Ryan Marriches or your Clayton Olivers. If you've got a round 14 buy that's heavy, this is your chance to get rid of those Sydney players. They have a buy coming up, so you can trade those guys out. So you don't have to be trading round 13s. Now, if you're short and you've only got 18 or 19 playing, then I would probably trade some of those guys. But a lot of us might be pretty okay on this buy round. So to me, it gets pretty simple over the next few rounds.
That's a mess if ever I've heard it.
Well, simple doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, in terms of what we need to do. Picking the players is probably the part where we need to focus our attention to. The only real difference here is the rookies or the cash generators.
Yeah.
So in a perfect world, we'd have some rookies, some cash cows who are coming off their buy rounds, but there's not too many that I can really point at, Luke. So the main guy I can really sort of get behind this week is a Riley Hardiman, but he is a bit more expensive. He's like a mid-pricer essentially now. So he's kind of like last week's version or this week's version of last week's players in the Berries, the O'Hallorans and those sort of types. He's 491K, but a break even of 1. He has the West Coast Eagles, and he's coming off a ton against the Collingwood Magpies with Sheasel moving forward. Is he someone that you think is a must-have going into this round, just as a guy who's going to play the next 4 rounds with a break-even of 1?
I don't know if he's a must-have. I think that the fact that, like you said, there's so few options might mean that he's a guy that a lot of people consider. I still think that there's going to be teams that need to go down to the price range below to potentially get the upgrades that they want to get to. But it's like you've been saying for the last couple of weeks, you feel like it's kind of hard to go wrong when that break even is so low. Even if they give you, a 50 or 60 score, you're still moving in the right direction, and your plan is to get rid of this guy in the next, you know, 3 weeks anyway. So I think he's definitely a play. What do you... I know you've talked about absolutely not. We're not trading in guys that have their buy still to come.
Premiums.
What about... Yeah, so let's talk about a guy, Caleb Mitchell, who played for the Swannies on the weekend. And in a team where just about everyone's going to get dropped, I feel like the guy who played his first game and actually had a red-hot crack...
Yeah, 92% tog coming up against Richmond.
Surely he holds his spot. And is it a play to get on the back of a 8 break-even and then just he sits in 2 weeks' time?
The tough part about this, he's going to play 1 game and then he's got his buy around. And for these players that don't have a lot of, time in the team, that week off, a lot of the time I find is a good excuse for the coach to go
reset. Kind
of. Reset. Let's get the experienced boys back in. I'll send a message. Mm. Like I'm imagining this week we're going to see the axe get swung on Sydney, and then there's going to be a lot of players get dropped. But in a few weeks after their bye round, some of those guys might come back in. Like Caleb Mitchell, is it Caleb? Caleb, yes. Mitchell, yeah, yep. he was solid. I don't know. It's a risk going into a player after one game with a bye in 1 week after. So you could do it. He might score well against a Richmond matchup, but I don't know about you. Sydney, like Richmond, nearly beat GWS on the weekend. I think Richmond's a chance against Sydney this week. They look horrible right now, absolutely horrible. And it's not just been this one game. Like there has been several performances from Sydney these last few rounds that they don't look anywhere close to where they were last year. And they look like a bottom four side right now. So I don't even know if that Richmond matchup for a player like him is necessarily the boom that it would be for maybe other teams.
Yeah, I think that's
so. There's a fair bit of risk there. I think I would still prefer maybe a cheaper player that maybe has the buy in round 15 or 16. So at least you're in a couple of rounds for them to maybe, you know, keep themselves, entrench themselves in the sides. But like I said, there's not too much.
There's not many getting around, is
to
there?
Choose from. Yeah. So, like some other players that I was looking at today, like Caleb Smith, again, one game and then a bye. I feel like his job security is a little bit better than Caleb Mitchell. He's at least played like sort of six games so far this year. He's got a couple in a row where he's looked pretty good. You could look at someone like an Ed Allen as a bit of a mid-price guy. He's got a negative two break even. He stayed into the side even when all those other guys came back. And he's had a good run of games off the back of the last couple especially. You could look at who's the other? Campbell Gray, another Richmond player. But all these guys have a bye in one round. I don't think we're picking the Essendon rookies with much confidence in like Day Wicks or Hayes. The watch might be some of these mid-season draftees,
yep,
that potentially come in straight off the bat.
Just have to see how the week evolves on that. What are your sort of early plans? I know we don't lock ourselves in on Monday, but...
I really want to get Riley Hardiman into my side, and we're going to talk about some premium upgrades, but the guy I really want to get to is Bontempelli. Now, to do that, and with the DPP, that's because, and I also want to get rid of these Swans players. I want to get rid of Cleary. I ideally want to get rid of Warner. And I'm trying to probably get the upgrade with a Levi Ashcroft, but I have to bring in a forward downgrade to make that possible. And it doesn't also work out because I've got six forwards playing this week, and basically all of them I'd want on field. So it's a bit clunky this week. So I'm not 100% sure that the third or the second downgrade is the one where I'm struggling. I am going to need someone cheap, so I'm fingers crossed that one of these mid-season buy guys comes through. But yeah, I am looking at Bontempelli. But let's maybe head over to some of those. Do you want to do trade targets first or chop some players first?
Let's get chopping. Hey, we normally right. chop first.
All right, let's chop. Was kung fu
fighting. Missed
early.
It. Yeah, a little.
Okay, anyway, it's not too early to chop these players. Sydney rookies, go. They're out. They are gone. Caden Cleary, Riley Bice, Corey Warner to a less extent, but he definitely can go as well. I think those three players can all go despite not having their bye this round.
So if I trade Bice, Philippou, Hall, Cleary, Warner, that should be sweet for this week.
Yeah.
Just trade those five guys.
Yeah, just... get a loan for next week's trades.
So perfect.
Five this round, one next round.
That should be sweet as.
Just talk to the Warn Dog. He might be able to arrange something. I think Bice is the priority. I could almost guarantee that he's not going to play this week, and he has the most amount of cash on his head. Cleary, to me, also is someone that needs to go. He is bleeding. He went down 45,000 this week. And again,
I have to tell me.
I think he's going to not find himself in the side this week. So despite them not being on the bye, I think they are pretty high priority trade outs. Mateus Philippou, he's also extremely high priority trade out. So for you, I think you've got your three trade outs sorted in Cleary, Bice, and Philippou.
Sammy Lawler lives to sit on the bench another day.
Well, he might be able to go instead of Cleary if Cleary is dropped because he's worth more potentially.
Yeah.
But yes, I get the idea. Better trade. But yeah, those guys can go. What do we do with players like Hugh Boxall, who is on his bye? He just played. He wasn't the sub. He scored 30. Chances are when he comes back, if he comes back, he'll come back and be the sub again. His break even's 33. So like, but he's only worth 350K. Like, what can we do with this sort of guy? I think in a perfect world, you'd trade him out.
Yeah, I think you're right in saying like the kind of order of events is these guys who are hemorrhaging cash, we've got to get rid of them. Otherwise, they've undone all their good work. But then a guy who, if he doesn't get you to the upgrade that you want, who isn't potentially going to hemorrhage cash, even though he's on his bye, I think a guy like that can stay. So a guy like that, in my mind, at the moment, is Max Hall. Like, he scored a 73 on the weekend.
Yeah.
0 point last quarter. But
until then.
Yeah. But at least he's obviously on his bye. Even when he comes back next week, he's likely not to lose as much cash as the rest of those guys. So he's a guy that's just going to stick around, even though in a different world, he might be on the chopping block.
Yeah, I think we've got to get rid of these guys who are, especially this week when I think it would be a bit easy to get your 20, 21 players on field. These guys that are going down in cash.
Yep.
Because it keeps happening with some of these guys just getting subbed, and we're never going to get completed sides with that happening. So Hugh Boxall is a nice one to trade out if it gets you the guy that you want, but he might be forced to say if it's leads you to sort of nowhere. Some other guys that I think is a little bit trickier, Levi Ashcroft, and I want to throw Clayton Oliver in the same bracket.
Yeah.
Which sounds ridiculous because they, I don't know, Clayton Oliver you'd think would be in another bracket, but they almost feel to me similar level of player right now. Would you agree with that? Is that fair to say? Or does Oliver still have another gear to go? I know he's coming off a 130 two rounds ago, but now it looks like Sydney was just the gravy matchup.
Yeah, and Collingwood have been tough to score against this year for most positions, to be honest, and then goes to Port Adelaide before his bye. So I think that these guys present a unique opportunity. Depending on the position that your team's in, these guys are so expensive that there's the potential, if you kind of have a bit of cash pocketed and you get the downgrade that you want, there's the potential to turn both of these guys into premium players in 1 week, which I think would be a fantastic position to be in.
It would be a very nice position to be in. I'm not in that position. If you had to choose, like you had to choose between one of these players going to a midfielder premium, so let's ignore the DPP with Ashcroft being the forward player. If both these players were going to a midfielder, who would you want to trade out first? Who do you think has a chance on putting up a better score basically in the next two weeks? Ashcroft has Adelaide and GWS.
So neither have awesome matchups, so let's kind of not see that as the tiebreaker. I think that Clayton Oliver still has that scoring pedigree. Maybe there's a little bit of bias here against just rookie versus established player. Yeah,
last five average, Clayton Oliver 80, Levi Ashcroft 85.
I think I'm still going to hold Clary. I think I'd move Ashcroft.
Break-evens are basically the same.
Are they similar? There's like 30, 40K between them, is it?
There's about 50K between them. Clayton Oliver's 50K more expensive. I will say, if Clayton Oliver gets you to the player that is better, like if there's if you have to settle for a worse upgrade and you're trading Levi instead of Oliver, I'm trading Oliver ahead of Levi.
Yeah.
I agree with you though that I would rather trade Levi because there is a little bit of that risk of the sub and managing. We just saw. I'm thinking that he's going to be fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not going to, if it is truly just a management thing, I don't think you're going to see that multiple weeks in a row.
Yeah, and so they went to the Thursday game, they've got a Friday game, and I think that then they have a Saturday game, and so they have like some good breaks between their games coming up. But it is still something at the back of my mind, just with a young player getting into that sort of middle part of the season, like they haven't had a bye round yet.
Yeah, of course.
So they've got the last bye round of all the teams. So he might be getting a little bit tired in the legs. So, but I think both are happy to go. What about some players that maybe we expected to trade on our bye rounds for suckers like me who have Caleb Sarong? I'm personally thinking that I'm going to be holding him now simply because I need to hold on to anyone even close to a premium basically at this stage as I can get. Are we holding Caleb Sarong for those who have him?
Yeah, in your position, I think it's a good option, but there's teams out there that may well have him, but outside of that have, you know, like a red hot team. And I think that
he could be a guy that you do a little sideways move. Like, if you can do a down up and then also do a Caleb Sarong to a round 12 player, I'd do that.
Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity this week to do that and further cement your spot.
Yeah, sort of like what I did with like Errol Goulden last year. I can't remember was it Butters or someone I traded to him. Like they were similar type of players, but you just get an extra game and perhaps you can target someone with a good matchup and get some instant reward.
I wouldn't want it, of course, to be the only upgrade
I think it's it's something in conjunction with a one down one up yeah. elsewhere in your side. Yeah. Is there any other players that you think are sort of urgent trade outs? Like, are we people who have like a Rowan Marshall in their side? Like, could
I was
you
just
do
about
a,
to bring up his name every yeah. time I look at my team and it's Rowan Marshall and Tim English, and I look at other teams that have had Gorn for the last 4 or 5 weeks, I just think to myself, there's like 100.
Well, we shouldn't feel that way, though. It's Rowan Marshall. He's the best fantasy player in the last 2 years, like bar none.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what's happened recently is killer. So unless that turns around, that
he scored 92 against Max, like that's not horrible.
Yeah, it's just more over the course of like the last 5 weeks, and watching what Max has been able to do has been a tough watch.
It'd be him to Sherry would be the trade.
Yeah, and I think look, if you are in a position where your team is killing it, then there's no need for you to trade Marshall. And if you're in a team where your team isn't killing it, then you've got bigger fish to fry than trading Marshall. So it almost, to me, it doesn't matter where your team's at.
Yeah, I don't think we're doing any ruck shuffles. Marshall does verse English, speaking of those two, after his bye round, which he should be able to put up a pretty good score there. He's got some good ruck matchups coming up. He's coming off the hard ones these last 2 weeks, and he comes into a really, really nice run all the way up until round 20 when he versus Max Scorn and Sherry back-to-back again. So I think you could hold at least until then, and then we can maybe do a little bit of shuffling if we need to.
Despite my shit team, I do have a heap of cash in the bank. So
let's go shopping!
Time for you to tell me where I should go shopping with our trade targets.
All right, so we... Like I said, trade targets, premiums. We're bringing in players who have had their buy already. So it limits us to four teams. So we'll go position by position, and then we'll break it up into the different teams. So I think defenders, if you do not have Connor Rosie, he would be my number one target coming out of the buy rounds of all positions. He is having a great season off halfback and is probably the safest player to project being top in his line, I think, coming off the bye rounds in the round 12. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think, your season, if you haven't owned him, your season's been not awesome watching him today.
107 average, 1.048 million. And, in the halfback role, I think less likely to get a tag.
Taking him before Bont this week?
I think I am. Position and... I think he's just more of a sure thing where he's sitting. So, to me, he's the number one guy in defense, probably overall, because the other defenders, like, Sheezel's the other guy that I've got here, but some people traded him out last week.
Yeah, with the teams coming off this bye round, I would prefer some more relevant players, if I'm perfectly honest. I think that, you know, Bontempelli is a name that not as many teams own that a lot of people will get on board with this week. But outside of that, there's not a heap of guys that fill me with confidence, and Sheezel's one of those guys. The roulette with his position in the last couple of weeks makes it difficult to say, lock him in, he's a trade target.
I think he'll be okay. It's just whether or not his okay is like 100 average, or if he goes back to close to a 110 average. I would love to see his mid-forward split be 50-60% midfield. Like, I think they'll settle on that eventually. It's just how much time it takes them to dick around trying to figure that out with other pieces in their side. Like, he's got West Coast this week. He could come out and put up a really good score in either of those positions. So there's a world where you actually do trade him in and he's a good target, but it does feel risky.
Yeah, I think at the very least it just knocks him down the pecking order this week.
Yeah.
compared to some of the other options.
Yeah, so I still have him as my number two defender, but there's a pretty significant gap between Rosie and Sheasel. And then Bailey Dale's the only real other, like, even close to premium guy coming off the round 12 bye. He had his massive score 2 weeks ago, but then laid an egg the week before. I think he is just going to basically settle in as that mid to low 90s guy. So you're basically paying what you get, maybe even a little overs. I will say he does have St. Kilda in 2 weeks, followed up with Richmond. So maybe it's not a this week, but if you're really desperate for a defender coming off their bye round, he could be a play in round 14 with a couple of good matchups. Runs actually not too bad with, what's that, 5 Marvel games in his next 6. That's got to be pretty nice. But yeah, again, bit of a step off the top guys, I think. The midfield's where it gets a bit more interesting.
Yeah, well, you got Bontempelli here at the top of the list. He does come straight into Hawthorn this coming week. Is there? Let's say you don't own Sheasel, you don't own Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking Sheasel before Bont this week? Given
I don't think so. I think I'm taking Rosie, but I don't think I'm taking Sheasel
against West Coast instead of Bont against Hawthorn, and then get Bont the following week against St Kilda.
I think there's a little too many question marks with Sheasel's role.
Okay,
I mean that could end up being the right answer, but I think you're going into something just a little bit unknown. Bont
has a high break even.
What I will say, and let's lump some of these other Bulldogs in there with him. So Ed Richards and Tom Liberatore, they're all having great seasons, and I think Treloar is going to potentially be back this week. Now you're not trading into Treloar first up, but there is a world where Richards takes a little bit of that attention away from Bont as like a tag sort of thing. And we just saw Nick Dacos basically run pretty freely against Hawthorn as well. So maybe the fear of the tag and the tough matchup against Hawthorn is a little bit, I don't know, maybe we'd be overreacting if we shied away from that with the Bont.
Yeah, potentially. And the way the Dogs have been going pre-bye, they are absolutely flying. I think that Bont had, like, say Nash, for example, I think Bont has Nash covered getting away from the stoppage as well, and then pushing forward potentially where required.
He's turned up every single game he's played except for that 79 against the GWS Giants where he was subbed out early because they had such a big lead and they could afford to do that. So
yeah,
basically turned up every game.
You feel like he's a guy that you're going to have in your side, and the coming off the bye is the perfect opportunity to do it. Some low tons in there, granted. Yeah. But yeah.
Do you think he's a top 4 averaging mid?
Who we got? We got Dawson. We got. It's not as obvious this year.
It does feel like a bit of a mishmash. So that's why I sort of can see him being there.
Yeah.
Maybe you do have like a Brayshaw, a Merritt. Then Bont's probably there.
Yeah,
you know?
I think if you happen to ask the question, then you know Bontempelli's a pretty good answer.
He could be as high as a top 2 midfielder, I think, potentially this season. So I do think that he probably is, outside of Connor Rosie, the second trade target of all positions and probably my number 1 midfielder. I will say that Ed Richards is probably number 2 for me.
Is that the fact that Treloar is waiting in the wings, that to me makes it difficult to go either Libba or Ed Richards, because even though I suspect they will be there, it's just like, are you paying that much money as your upgrade for the week to get a guy that has question marks over, you know, another player coming into the team?
Yes, I do see that. I think Lib is going to be the one that takes the biggest hit, personally. Richards is like, he's 25 years old in the prime of his career. Like, he's the stack on around is he's like the number 1 rated player, you know, player ratings in the competition so far this year. So I don't think you mess with that. I don't think you fuck with that. He's their guy in terms of like ball use and like score involvements and all those sort of things so far this year. And with how the Bulldogs are going, like they've had a pretty good season so far. I think he's not going to be affected too much by Treloar. Maybe a slight downturn, but he really is just starting to hit his straps. And like, what is it? 5 of his last 6 rounds, he's turned up with some pretty good ones in there. And Hawthorn's a bit tougher, but then St Kilda, Richmond, Sydney, North. That's a pretty good run as far as I'm concerned. So compared to like other mids on other teams, like the second best mid at Bulldogs, I think still probably better than some of the best mids in some of the other sides.
Yeah, you're probably right. Let's talk about a couple of those, especially obviously coming off this bye, like Sam Walsh, Patrick Cripps. We don't know what we're getting there. There's days gone by where Sam Walsh is as cheap as he is coming off his bye would have been like you've got to get on this.
Yeah, but you would not think twice about it.
That's not the case.
So he's averaging so far 55% CBAs on the season, and it took a noticeable dip after round four. So rounds 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, 11, he hasn't had a game over 60% CBAs. Now, the thing that makes these guys a little bit attractive is their run coming up. I do believe they've got a pretty good run starting this week against Essendon, West Coast, North. So three games is pretty nice, but he hasn't turned up since round five against West Coast, and that's because he kicked three goals, and that was the start of that more forward time. I know he's cheap, but I don't think I can trade into Walsh with any confidence.
Yeah, I can't see it happening. And I mean, I think early in the season, I cited a stat about Walsh's scoring coinciding with Carlton playing well at the end of last year. And I just don't see Carlton turning it around or playing well.
Yeah, weirdly enough, he's just been pushed out of the midfield. Chera's higher, Hewitt's higher, Cripps is obviously the main man in there. He's just the fourth banana when it comes to midfield time. So as good as Walsh is, and in other years, like if one of those guys found themselves injured, then yes, he would immediately jump into calculations. But until that time, I don't think you can go there. Patrick Cripps, in more recent times, he's actually been pretty good. Look, he's turned up, what's 4 out of his last 5, averaging 94 on the season, but averaging 108 over his last 5 games. He is still susceptible to putting up some pretty poor scores, however. Essendon, he's got the same run like we read up before. Is he someone you could go if maybe you couldn't quite afford someone over $1 million? He's 976,000.
I don't think so either. I've always seen Cripps as being a little bit more of that like game impact rather than fantasy impact as well. He's not a guy that you're going to see doing a heap of waxing. And for that reason, if there's a game where he's not on, I just think that you're not going to get... you're not going to get something that you like, especially considering you're paying, I know he's coming off his bye, but you're paying as much for him as you are for, you know, some names that I hold in much higher regard. Mm. I know Caldwell, Green, Anderson, these guys you can't get, you don't want to get this week, but if you're paying a similar amount for them as you are paying for Cripps, I don't really feel that good about it.
I agree. I think I'd avoid those Carlton guys for now, despite a pretty nice run. I just don't know if there's a big ceiling midfielder in their mix there.
One guy that we've never wanted to avoid is Zach Butters. Interesting because, of course, we love the guy, but he has one of the biggest break-evens this week. It's close to 150, I would
146,
say.
And he's coming into a matchup where he's likely going to get a Bedford tag, I think.
Yeah, so is he...
He's a next week play.
He's a wait and see.
Yeah, I think he's a next week or the week after sort of play. So definitely on my radar. And if I had to trade in someone below $1 million, I'd probably just choose Butters over those Carlton boys anyway. But this week, I'd probably prefer to trade up to those slightly more expensive guys. And then you might get Butters closer to 900,000, maybe even cheaper in a week or two. So he's definitely on the radar. You know, save a spot for him because I think he will be an excellent player to target, but not this week. Bedford surely goes to him, right? Like we saw Bedford go to Taranto in the second half of the Richmond game and basically held him to like 30 points in the
second
half.
Pretty much nothing. Yeah, he got a rev from the coach. I know we don't normally buy into this kind of stuff, but what Geelong did to Port Adelaide 2 weeks ago and the way Butters was basically absent.
Yeah.
You'd have to think Zach Butters is just been absolutely chomping at it.
Yeah, you reckon he wants to bounce back in a big way?
Yeah, but we shouldn't really buy into that kind of stuff. But you would expect.
I think against Melbourne, this is where you can start to look at him. Because are they doing the tag thing anymore with Oliver? Didn't seem to look like it on the weekend. But I think one more week, wait, let that price get a bit cheaper, avoid the potential tag. And if he goes big this week, well, then you just have a bit more confidence and you're not going to get him. Like, I don't think he's going to go 140 against the Giants. Famous last words, but you're going to at least get him at the same price or cheaper the next week.
Yep.
So it doesn't leave too many options in the midfield. It really is some of those Bulldogs players, I think, are the guys we're looking at. Maybe, I threw this name on the run sheet, but I don't really believe it. Luke Davies-Uniacke is like the other team on the bye that's coming off the bye is North Melbourne.
Yeah.
LDU's the only other real player there.
I don't think anyone's having to go that deep.
No. So he's on hopefully. $900K. He's put up a few 90s, but there's just no ceiling from him there anymore. So, yeah, probably not too exciting. So, to me, it might seem pretty vanilla, but Bont's the guy Bont's this the week guy. In yeah. terms of midfielders. I don't see much else really that makes me very excited. Let's talk forwards. Again, not too many options. Two guys here, and maybe even just one, really. Matthew Kennedy, the unsung hero of the season, Luke. Again, another Bulldogs player. Good run. I mean, maybe he gets affected by Treloar.
I was going to say, is he the guy, given that he's played that role at Carlton previously, whether that's just kind of like a if-the-glove-fits type situation when Treloar comes back in. It's now a lot of money to be paying for a guy that, again, you have question marks over, like I said before. But you're not wrong in the fact that he's been a great pick up until this point.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the CBAs now, and I'm actually surprised to see that I know Bont had that one game where he subbed out, but he's averaging fewer CBAs than Kennedy. Bont's averaging 58% CBAs. I'd have to think that that rises up. Kennedy averaging 64%. Yeah, I could definitely see that dropping down with Treloar coming in. So
I mean, there's an argument to say that if you...
He's still good, though.
There's an argument to say that if you're the Western Bulldogs and you don't care about fantasy scoring like we do, that they say, okay, well, of all our midfield, who's the most damaging Bont's guy to spend more time forward?
Because then, I mean, Kennedy can be a good forward.
He can, but like Bont or Kennedy, forward Bont still take away the fact of what, take away the fact of what you lose from the midfield. If you're saying we've got a midfield that we believe in Libber, Kennedy, Ed Richards, and then Treloar when they come back. I'm not saying Bont's not going to play midfield.
Yeah,
but I think
just,
he'll
play patches. Like I don't think he's going to be an 80% mid.
No, so I think there's an argument to say that maybe his CBAs remain around the 50% mark.
Yeah, I would personally say that Bont is so good that you just need him there. Like, I know he's the better four, but he's the much better mid. Like, I don't know. That's my thought. Maybe I've got the fantasy lens on, but I still think he's going to be solid. Or maybe the baby Bont. Maybe the baby Bont goes forward a bit more. Joel Frazier, that is.
Blasphemous.
But yeah, I think Kennedy's good. Like I think at this stage, if I had to rank a top six forwards, he'd be there. He might be a bit overpriced at the moment, but if you're desperate for a forward, he probably is the guy. The only other name that I can really list here, I mean, Jai Simkin he's up there in average coming off the bye rounds, but I don't like the look of him. No. I've never really been a big Simkin fan in terms of fantasy scoring. The only other one is Jason Horne-Francis. And we don't even know if he's playing.
No, sir.
Like Butters, massive break even. And he was frustrating at the best of times anyway. So I think you've got wanting to give him a week as well. So a lot of those Port guys, you're sort of waiting a week. So it does feel like there's limited options this week.
Yeah. Is Riley Hardiman the only sort of mid-priced option that you can see as viable from some of these teams?
Riley Hardiman is probably Ed Allen, but again, he's got a bye in 1 week. Is probably the other one with a low break even. I mean, if you haven't picked up Kai Lohman, I would 100% be looking that way.
Yeah.
So I think if you didn't go him, he's still cheap enough. 392K, break even of 8. I think he is definitely someone that if you didn't go there last week, you can go this week. It's not too late. Outside of that, it is probably too late on a Sheldrick, on a Berry, like these guys, it was a last week play and that's probably come and gone. I don't know. Christian Moraes?
I agree that, no, absolutely not. No, I won't buy it. Yeah, I think it's pretty natural when you're coming off the bye, the first bye round, that the targets are going to narrow pretty considerably. So,
like, we're not bringing in Caleb Daniel.
No, we might find that the targets for a lot of people are pretty similar this week, I would imagine.
Yeah, so I think yeah, it is one of those Bulldogs mids, unless you don't have a Rosie as the guys that we are targeting, or another Bulldog in Kennedy as a forward option there.
I've done well to get myself to 50 minutes, mate. So
you're the people's prince, mate, or the hero out there. Sorry, I think that name's copyrighted. You're the man of the people. Thank you very much, guys, for tuning in. We will go through a bit more in detail our final sort of rankings list, but it does seem a little bit cut and dry this week. Hopefully, we do get some debutants coming in from the mid-season buyers and some more downgrade targets. I think that's what today's or this week's trades will hinge upon. Who plays for Adelaide?
He does.
Hopefully, we get those coming through. So stay tuned on Friday for our live show. You can sign up on Patreon at patreon.com/ballboys to get our extra exclusive podcast, which is answering every single question that drops over there. It usually runs for about a couple hours on a Wednesday night. So stay tuned and sign up for that if you haven't already. But until next time, guys, we'll catch you later. Bye.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.